The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour. We go. Before we play this audio from D'Amico Ryans, let me preface. I think D'Amico has done a really good job since he came here as a head coach. This rebuild's gotten done much quicker than most rebuilds get out of the gates. You know, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game. I think in some respects, you and I talked about this yesterday, Seth. In some respects, the angst that the fan base is feeling right now is probably a function of what they accomplished last year. If they'd gone 9-8 and not made the playoffs last year, I don't think people are nearly as anxious about them being 6-4 and having some offensive struggles right now. But expectations are what fuel a lot of this, and that's fine. But I, you know, so when we're about to dig in on D'Amico here, this is not like D'Amico. This is not like in Chicago where they're getting ready to fire Matt Eberflus type stuff.
Well, I think it's actually added on to that. It's not just that expectations were higher, it's that you had a quarterback who was the offensive rookie of the year.
Yes.
And he's entering sophomore Slumpville.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to live in Slumpville.
It's the worst town ever. Slumpville's horrible. Because the ways to get out of Slumpville are not fun. The Slump Buster. It's not, that's not.
Well, I mean, it's fun.
I mean,
it's
not what you would hope for. Let's just say.
Right.
Anyways. So now, and I'm glad you brought up the quarterback, because that's where the questions are starting to get honed in on here. We're starting to get questions. I would not have foreseen getting questions about the operation at this point with D'Amico Ryans. You know,
now you're talking about the questions, not just about the play on the field itself, but the way decisions are made, the way coaches are coached.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I am not talking about the on the field. I'm talking about the things that lead to the on the field, the things that are done during the week, the things that are done in the locker room during games. This was D'Amico Ryans on game plan adjustments yesterday.
Any game plan, you talk about adjustments, I think that's always a factor when you talk about scouting yourself, self-scouts, and also scouting your opponents. So you're always looking at tendencies and things to change, things to add or do something a little different. But it's, at the end of the day, you still have to execute whatever changes you make. But that's part of any game. It's about, you know, adjusting.
And he's getting asked about that because his offense has not scored a touchdown in 4 weeks in the second half of football games.
Yeah, and
it's
and
not
also,
just some silly ha-ha question to get an answer. Like, oh, well, tell us about adjustments. You know?
Right. Because even if, you know, I've talked yesterday about, okay, well, you know, at the very least, they had an easy touchdown to Tank Dell if CJ had made the right throw. You could take all those what ifs, the Green Bay game, you know, there could have been a touchdown there, and it still doesn't add up to much scoring in the second half.
So
it's been a bit of an issue. And then Bobby Slowick's been a little bit dismissive about second half adjustments when asked about it, I don't think he's given answers that are wrong. It's whenever coaches are asked about adjustments, I think some of them will talk like, no, there's no adjustments, but they mean there's no like huge cataclysmic, like, oh, we came up with the super secret play. It's usually not as dramatic as that. It's just little tweaks here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the most defensible for the second half adjustment thing, the narrative that's out there about that with the Texans, and obviously the results fuel the narrative big time right now. But the one thing I've heard coaches say throughout the last, or maybe it might have been Bobby or other coaches, is this has become such a thing for the Texans, is that the locker room at halftime is just one data point where we're making adjustments after the second series of the third quarter. You know, there's adjustments made all game long. Like, let's not get it twisted that a 12-minute halftime, which is really like a 7-minute halftime once you get everybody in the locker room and then gather everybody up and everybody takes a leak and everything else. Like, it's not as big a thing as, the adjustments that get made on the sideline during the game are just as big as the ones made in the locker room.
And there are exceptions, too, where, you know, Robert Saleh tells a great story about they were having a hard time with the Rams, I think, option game at one point. So they changed their rules for how they were going to handle the option, either at halftime or on the sideline or wherever it was, and it ended up being huge for them. So the adjustments are made within the game.
Sure.
It's not like those are the key every single halftime, I guess.
The answer you're about to hear, this question, I think it was Cody who asked this question, Cody Stutes, I'm pretty sure. If it's not, I apologize to whoever did. But was asked, this is where I'm watching this press conference yesterday, Seth, as I'm out in the nice sunshiny day, smoking a cigar, watching this on my computer. And this is the one that kind of got me in the gut a little bit, because I this was very relatable for me, getting asked a question like this for D'Amico Ryans. And I'll explain why in a second. But D'Amico has asked, who is involved in the play calling?
Yeah, when it comes to the game planning, all of our offensive coaches have input on plays, suggestions, all of those things. So everybody, every coach is suggesting whether it's run game. You know, everybody has different phases of the game, different situations, third down, 2 minute, whatever it may be. So all coaches have input on putting the game plan together, and everybody, they put it together, all right, together. And, you know, I have some input as well on things I've seen, of things I may suggest to Bobby as well when it comes to the game planning mode.
This is why this is relatable for me. Nobody ever asked any questions last year about who's involved in the game. If it's working, nobody cares who's involved in the game planning, right? Like, these are not questions that get asked of highly. I'm guessing Andy Reid never gets questions about who's involved in the game planning. You know, like, it's to the tone that it is right now. Like, the reasons why, we know the reasons why D'Amico's being asked about this. The reason why this is relatable for me is, like, I think back to when I was, before I got into radio, and I was vice president of sales. So I was like the head coach of sales for my company, and I had all these 7 regions that reported to me that were like the equivalent of like coordinators or assistant coaches. And I was pretty good at my job. I wasn't D'Amico Ryan's level good, but I was pretty good. But during my tenure, there were a couple regions that were failing, and that was my responsibility. And I remember, like, when you have shareholders that you're responsible for, and you have a CEO that you report to, and I guess in this case, the CEO for D'Amico is the media or the Texan fans, they sit you down and they start to ask, okay, tell me about John Comello and how he's doing here. What are we doing here to fix this? How involved are, they start asking, how involved are you in the sales process in that region? Do you go on sales call? How much time do you spend in that region? Like, what's the process? What's the process for prospecting? They start to dig into the process. And it's an uncomfortable stage if you're a leader. And that's where we're veering into with the offense right now. If things don't get fixed, these are going to continue. We're watching other teams fire coordinators, and I'm not saying fire Bobby Slowick, but D'Amico was not getting these questions about, tell us about the adjustments, tell us about who's involved in this and who's involved in that, because if it were working, we wouldn't care. And I
think with the with the game planning part of it specifically, okay, how involved is D'Amico with the offensive side of the ball? Because that is the question and the discussions that are always going to come up when you have a defensive-minded head coach is, all right, what is he actually doing to hire the right coordinator, then oversee the coordinator, and how can he be like a Mike Tomlin or a Bill Belichick or various other defensive head coaches who have had good offensive coordinators? You've got to prove your worth there. Yeah. And that's where it's starting to come. That's where the questions will start to remain.
Spoiler alert, John Comello got fired. You know, like, that was just a personal, that was relatable to me. I'm like, oh man, like they're starting to ask the questions about what's your process? Like, how does this work? This thing that's not working. How does this work?
I didn't. Yeah, real quick. I couldn't remember John Comello's name from just 45 seconds earlier. So I thought you were talking about some offensive coordinator. I was like, who the hell is John Comello?
Oh,
what the hell's wrong with me?
No, he was my regional or area
the guy
sales
that was under, that you had to answer questions for. How quick after you? How long did it take you to fire him after they gave you that?
It was a couple months after that. Yeah, and we tried to fix some things, and there was and it just didn't get fixed. You know, well, I mean, eventually it got fixed, but. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Somebody look him up and tell us what he's doing right now. We gotta get John Comello on the air.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. Oh man, I don't want to relive that. So that was D'Amico yesterday. The other thing that's popping up now for D'Amico is on Reddit, Bill O'Brien stats. After the Texans blew a first half lead in the Sunday game, it was pointed out on Reddit that D'Amico Ryans has now lost more games when leading at halftime than Bill O'Brien did his entire time with the Texans.
Yeah.
This is not me saying that that Bill O'Brien's a better coach than D'Amico Ryans. I'm saying this is the stage the fans are at right now.
And so I think the thing about that is it's not like D'Amico Ryan's stats are awful in that regard, especially in a relatively small sample size.
13-5 when leading at halftime.
13-5, and I don't know what the normal average is or what have you, but I think it's more. It was a reflection of the oddity that was Bill O'Brien. That was one of those stats that you knew about him. You acknowledged how impressive it really was to be that good when leading at the half, and yet, it was. The thing that led to that was never felt good, like the way they would play conservatively in the second half. Yeah. In the moment, it never felt good. It never felt good to do the right thing. Yeah. And so, like, I think people just didn't latch on to that. And the other was that I just felt like it was, I don't know, just like kind of flukish, right? It wasn't, am I just being a jerk?
It was, I'll say this about Bill. Well, let me give the number first for those, because some people may be unfamiliar with what we're talking about.
Oh, I thought you had
here.
Said it already.
I hadn't said his number. I just said that D'Amico had lost more. Bill O'Brien was 37-4 when leading at halftime as Texans head coach. It got a lot of attention when it got to 31-1. He was 31-1 at one point, and I don't remember what the one was at the time, but he was 31-1. He ended up 37-4 when leading at halftime. I don't recall if it was because O'Brien had any sort of secret sauce. I mean, he loved to run the football, and if you were running it successfully in a game, that was a good way to burn out the clock. Bill O'Brien was at his best, honestly, when he was handed janky-ass backup quarterbacks for a couple of years and was able to go win games. So that was interesting.
Yeah, they've been doing it in creative ways.
Yes.
When Case Keenum came in, they kind of threw in some stuff on the fly that he was comfortable with.
Yeah.
And,
Yep.
Credit to Bill O'Brien, but I don't think it's quite the... It was a very impressive run that Bill O'Brien
31
had.
31-1 at the time was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was very impressive, but it's not like it's a weakness of D'Amico's.
No. And I think that's what you and I are pointing out. Like, that's... But the fans are restless right now.
Right, well, no, but it does. Okay, you look at... it's just ironic because I think... You see that stat and you want to say, yeah, be more aggressive in the second half, close these games out. And yet, the way Bill O'Brien got that record was by following more of D'Amico Ryan's methodology. Yeah. He just did a better job of executing.
Yeah.
Word nobody wants to hear anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of firing coaches, Shane Waldron, fired by the Bears as their OC on yesterday. It came down during our show yesterday. Shane Waldron fired as the OC. So Caleb Williams will now be on his second offensive coordinator, 10 games into his NFL career. They played this audio on In the Loop yesterday. I had forgotten about this. But when Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Shane Waldron, who had been with the Seahawks the last few seasons before going to the Bay, got fired by the Seahawks, goes to the Bears. And so Jaxon Smith-Njigba was... I can't remember if it was at the Super Bowl or somewhere, but he was on. He was doing an interview with some Chicago guys, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, wide receiver for the Seahawks, who spent a season with Shane Waldron, And they asked, at that point, Waldron was hired by the Bears, so these hosts from Chicago were looking for a little intel on their new OC, and so they asked Jackson Smith and Jigba, like, hey, tell us about Shane Waldron.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah, we're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person.
He's got a great personality.
Whenever the great person comes first,
makes good lasagna.
Yeah. or with a coach. I think it was Emmanuel Acho I saw yesterday reading a text he'd gotten from somebody at Seattle who he said was a Pro Bowl player that. The text basically was like, oh, nope, that ain't it. That ain't going to work. So, yeah. And Shane Waldron, when you look at his track record, you wonder, why is this guy, why did he get another job as an offensive coordinator after what he did in Seattle? He must be really like hell on wheels on the whiteboard, you know, when he gets up and explains things and spouts off his football philosophy.
He's good in interviews, man. I might hire him as a salesperson. He sold himself multiple times to teams.
A lot better than Joe Camello.
That's John Camello.
I'll say his right name when he meets his quotas.
I'll get John Camello on the show if you get Richard Smith on the show. How's that?
Yeah.
There was a report that the players went to management. That's how you know it's bad, man. Like the Bears players went to management basically and said, "Hey, this guy ain't it."
Yeah.
Some of them reportedly wanted Tyson Badgett to start over Caleb Williams.
Backup quarterback. It's time to move on.
It's time to at least do like say what Indianapolis did, which is, "Hey, let's let the young guy watch."
And you've pointed out that the track record of guys getting benched after already being the starter is it's really poor.
It's a death blow. It's essentially a death blow. Yeah,
I think that with Caleb Williams, the one thing about him is yes, he's getting sacked a lot, but he's also holding onto the ball a long, long time. And his average time to throw is just way up there. And that was his scouting report coming out of college. So it might be the worst scenario. The fact that if you don't, I mean, because they just don't have good offensive linemen up there. But it's also you're adding into it a guy that's going to try to make something out of nothing way more than he probably should.
I totally forgotten about this until people started pointing this out yesterday about the Bears and about Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. That the Bears, like, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was out there for the taking. Like, he interviewed with the Raiders. I think he may have even interviewed with the Bears. And he was, but at the very least, we know he was Caleb Williams. He was with Caleb Williams at USC. And if I'm a Bears fan, that's probably pretty infuriating right now to see, like, not only is Caleb Williams floundering right now, in part because of his own doing, but also in part because of poor decisions as to who to put with him, evidently, because they just fired the guy. But Jaden Daniels is flourishing right now with Caleb Williams, quarterback's coach, his OC.
This is going to get real interesting. This is where there's a lot of people watching Washington, not just for the obvious reasons, but this is around the point in the season when Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in Arizona fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Also at Texas Tech, you know, the back third of the season, that was when he really would falter as a head coach. So is this when – and he's facing Vic Fangio this week. Very, very intelligent defensive coordinator. Is this when everything – when people start to catch up to him, or does Cliff Kingsbury push on through?
Here's their schedule. You ready? This is their schedule the rest of the way. They've got 7 games left. At Philadelphia, home for Dallas, home for Tennessee. Tennessee, not a bad defensive team.
Yeah, their defense has been good this last week, notwithstanding. Yeah.
Week 14 bye, then at New Orleans, home for Philly, home for Atlanta, at Dallas. What is their record right now? They're 7-3. Dude, Washington could win 12 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not a – you got the 2 Philly games that are going to be difficult. Atlanta just lost to New Orleans. And you got 2 Dallas games, a Tennessee game, a New Orleans game, and Atlanta. Like, if Washington finishes anything below 11-6, something has gone horrible. if Washington finishes below 11-6, what you're talking about with Kingsbury, the possibility that the league might have caught up with him, or that the there's just this Kingsbury malaise in the second half of the season, then that had to have happened if they're less than 11-6 against that schedule with that quarterback.
Unless something else falls apart because they're playing well defensively too.
Yep.
That's another, Cliff Kingsbury has been impressive enough and Jaden Daniels has been impressive enough that Dan Quinn isn't the favorite for coach of the year right now. It's Mike Tomlin is the favorite, where I feel like Dan Quinn is in an organization that everybody had basically looked at as just about dead, as close to being like never insalvageable. And yet he's not even the favorite for coach of the year because he's got a quarterback and an offensive coordinator that are getting a lot of buzz.
Yep. Yep. So that's Eberflus. They've now had eight assistants fired or resigned in the last 14 months under Matt Eberflus. Eventually, Matt Eberflus has to get fired, right?
That's he's got to know, right? No, he knows. He's just going to be. It's going to be him and going to be him and two quality control guys there by the end of the season.
Okay, so then is Ryan Poles out of people to point fingers at that point? You know, our buddy Ryan Poles, the media whore.
Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, who just cannot get enough Ryan Poles. The fact that the offensive line are because I don't want to talk about just the starters or something. They are just such an incredibly slipshod cast of misfits. It's almost like something out of... They're like the guys who are cast to play offensive linemen in Hollywood movies.
Right.
They're just like, oh, give me some fat guy out there, right? He can be an offensive lineman. They're awful, and that's who you put in front of your rookie quarterback.
Awful.
It's really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Texans fans are saying, like, what are you talking about? No. It's bad. It's really bad.
Are you surprised? I haven't seen many interviews with Ryan Poles lately. He's been awfully quiet about the Bears.
He's not granting access to writers from the Athletic.
The offseason, the guy doesn't shut
LA
the hell
Times.
Up. Yeah, he's about himself.
I'm PO'd about all of that because Jeff Luhnow never got the benefit of the doubt while they were being awful. The Astros were just lampooned relentlessly. And now when Ryan Poles was tanking, people were like, oh, boy, he just keeps making the right move after the right move. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, but they haven't. They're still awful.
And one.
What are you going to tell me that he's doing a great job? You haven't seen any of these players work out yet.
Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610. And football super fans, Sean, this is John Camello. I hope you start snoring again.
John Camello's life went to pot after you fired him.
I don't think it did. I think he did fine. I think he did okay.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hire him or did you?
No. I did not hire him. He largely did a really good job. You know, it's just he hit rough patches. It happens.
Yeah.
Aziz Alshire met with the media yesterday. That was kind of good. The Texans trotted a few players out in front of the media. They were good ones. We'll hear from Jalen Petrie here in a minute. I think this is a concern I think fans have sometimes. I do think a D'Amico Ryans team is going to be as immune to this as maybe any team, but the frustration, is there frustration building between the two sides of the football? Like, is there frustration on the defense since you guys did your job in that game against Detroit?
I mean, if we handled our part, then they wouldn't have scored the points to end up winning the game. So it's tough because, yeah, can you look at the stat line and say we made a quarterback throw 5 interceptions? Like, no question. If you just read that stat line, I mean, for any team, it could be Little League for all I care. I'm like, yeah, they won the game. And then when you see, like, what happened and what transpired throughout the game, I think it's just playing every single play. Like, we all had plays that we could have been better. Because if it was just about the 5 interceptions, then, yeah, cool. But, you know, come out and we're up 23-7. I don't care if the offense don't score another point, you know, because if their offense doesn't score another point, then we win the game and nobody's talking. Like, y'all could still probably talk about the offensive struggles and all that, but we still win the game, you know. So I think, again, it's just a mentality that you got to have and the perspective, because if you feeling like, man, we did our part, man, we did good. It's like, I'm telling you, that's a setup for a bad outcome in the long run.
Yeah, I was trying to think about various situations that I was either in or in Houston history. And I think the most notable was back when Buddy Ryan is punching Kevin
Gilbride.
Gilbride, thank you. There's an intense and heated rivalry between the offense and defense. Most of that was driven by Buddy Ryan being a psychopath. So, like, that's not a healthy environment, you know? That's how you end up having disappointing seasons in the early 90s when you got that kind of environment. I think that the situation with the Texans is, it's not – I would be really surprised if defensive players started resenting offensive players or anything like that. As long as C.J. Stroud is the quarterback, I think that there's a belief in C.J. Stroud. And – it hasn't been as good as they've been. It hasn't been such a dominating defense that there haven't been a lot of moments where you're like, oh wow, the offense really let the defense down. It's been second quarter collapses on both fronts at times. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about it. Aziz Alshire as a leader knows everything he just said. He always sums it up perfectly. You've got to actively fight against kind of having that mentality.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that becoming a thing with the Texans. I mean, it could, I guess, I suppose. I feel like just based on who they have as their coach, based on who they bring in as play, like I think a big part of the profile of the type of player, the type of person they look for is that type of person or player is not a finger pointer, you know?
Yeah. Right, yeah, and that is huge. Like, I think about the first year of the franchise in 2002, when we had some really good veteran defensive players. We were a much better defense than the stats would show because the offense was so bad. So we were just out there forever. But I think like in that year, it was so obvious the reasons for the difference. You had a rookie quarterback playing behind three or four starting rookie offensive linemen. It was a bad situation for the offense. Mm-hmm. And we kind of knew it, so that never became an issue. I never remember it just, you know, getting angry at the offense or anything.
Yeah.
It was what it was. And I think that with D'Amico, I don't think D'Amico's defensive players are ever, they're going to have it drilled in their head constantly. Like, hey, you just can't control what you can't control. You go out and take care of your business, you know?
Yep. Text message, 5 Hour Energy fan line. Someone says, that's why Aziz should be a captain. Aziz is a captain. He's a captain already, so don't worry. He's got the C on his jersey.
The listener is just trying to take a shot at Laramie Tunsil. He should be a captain.
Okay.
As opposed to others.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how I would interpret that.
I can see that, yeah. This next one from Aziz, I think, is why Seth Payne would really like Aziz Alshire. I think Aziz answering why they had another, I don't know if you knew this, Seth, they had another players only meeting after the game on Sunday.
They're addicted.
The Texans, they love these players only meetings. Yeah. So they had another one after the game on Sunday. And Aziz Alshire was asked why, and I think Seth Payne is going to like this answer.
Just kind of check in. You know, you don't check in with the guys. Just like you don't check in with your wife. You know, you think everything's going good, and whole time, hey, how you doing? And then she just spazzes. Like, whoa, I thought it was good. So I think it's always good. Like, it's never a bad thing to just check in and see how everything's going, especially for me. I mean, I've been hurt for the last 3 weeks, so I got a different perspective watching from afar. So I think it's just a good check-in for everybody.
He wants to check in on his relationship, man. A relationship analogy.
That's a wise old man analogy right there. The guy that's worked on his marriage and understands that relationships take work.
That's it, man.
You know, when things are good, you keep them good. Put a little work. So you got to tend the garden. That's all Alshire's saying is you got to tend to the garden. You
it
know?
Is tough, though. Like, he's almost talking there, like, because he was out for 3 weeks. I mean, he's around, but he's out for 3 weeks. He's like, hey, man, I've been out of this leadership thing for a little bit. I want to dip my toe back in the leadership water.
I played a lot of video games while I was gone. That's all.
I got to get my leadership groove back. Yeah.
I think that I know that people hear about players-only meetings, and yes, a lot of times they are a harbinger of doom, but it doesn't mean that they're not also positive. When you do them regularly, and that's just the standard way of operating, to try to get any kind of potential festering issues out in the open, it's a lot easier if you're meeting, I don't want to say frequent, because I hate like everyday meetings for no reason, but you want to be sure guys are checking in with each other as a leadership group or whatever, to nip those things in the bud and to get things out in the open. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you are bringing up issues, you know, where you're not, it doesn't feel like, uh-oh. Like, Parker, our boss, called me twice yesterday.
He did?
And I didn't know why.
Did you get nervous when you looked down at the phone and you saw it was Parker calling?
I did. I texted him and I was like, hey, he said, can we have a phone? He said, like, can we talk on the phone today?
Oh.
That's how he framed it. And I was like, oh boy. And I started thinking about, like, oh boy, which where was the camera hidden that I didn't know about? people don't know what I do in the nooks and crannies of this office. But that ended up being no big deal. That was just talking about the logistics of the Monday night game next week. But then the next time I got a call, and this was I basically intellectual property violation. I did something on my social media that I wasn't supposed to do.
Oh,
and
really?
It ended up not being a big deal. But okay. He was like, hey, just this one person, basically it was something they could have made a big deal out of because I used some video that I wasn't supposed to be using.
I got you.
And it was it gets dicey, but it's anyway. But that ended up all right.
Yeah,
do something wrong.
It was a coaching moment for you. That's all it was.
Yeah,
it wasn't a fireable offense or anything like that.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get fined by the FCC or something.
That would be worse because that would cost actual money. That would suck.
We do the trademark law and intellectual property law flummoxes me sometimes.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you. 5 Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. This many players-only meetings means there are serious internal problems. That's a text message. Does this mean there are serious internal problems? I suppose there could be a perception like, hey, if the players need to get together this much, why aren't the coaches solving some of these things?
I think, I would say it's a problem in as much as what's the outcome. You know, I feel like saying that, how did the texter phrase that?
I'll read it verbatim again.
Yeah.
This many players-only meetings means there are serious internal problems.
Yeah, I don't get. There's a lot more players' meetings than ever get reported to the media.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
When one does seep out for whatever reason, and then especially if there's a win afterwards, then it becomes a really big deal. So now people are asking after this game, did you guys have a players-only meeting? You know, it's not something that guys might have offered up, but because Jonathan Alexander really wrote a really good piece in the Chronicle about it. People are asking about it afterwards. So, that's like saying, like, don't get a prostate exam. What do you? My uncle got a prostate exam. Found out he had cancer afterwards. It was like, sometimes you gotta check it out, and sometimes there's problems, and sometimes there's not.
I'll make an actual football comparison. It's like when it was reported that Lovie Smith was going into ownership and management. To lobby for his job towards the end of the season in 2022. And as it turns out, he had a standing meeting every week with them.
Right, you know? Right. Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah, this was something that had always been going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
to talk about his prostate.
He was at that age where it would be a topic of discussion. You know, it would be something to bring up at parties and whatnot. Yeah.
Doesn't the NFL have like a prostate exam week or something? We're like brown armbands, or what do they do?
I don't know.
Because they do cancer. They do the
breast cancer. They do the My Cause, My Cleats, where everybody gets. I would imagine that with My Cause, My Cleats, there's several prostate cleats running around on the field that weekend.
Needs to be. Heck, we could really lean into that.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. Here's Jalen Petrie talking about handling losing 3 out of the last 4.
Not at all.
Sorry about that, Ben.
I think the most important thing that is being relayed is understanding that nobody is going to come and save us. That everybody, from the top to the bottom, from the left to the right, you know, we got to take ownership in what we're doing and make sure that, you know, we have good energy. I think the energy is going to carry the momentum and it's going to propel us to where we want to go.
I like Petrie, man. I'm glad he's playing better this year. I love that no one's coming to save us. That feels like something they were told after the trade deadline.
That's another one of those phrases, though, that feels way more dramatic. And when you first hear it, in my mind,
I like it.
It takes me to too many movies where things don't turn out well.
That's
or
okay.
At the very least, a bunch of people die and a few people are saved.
I think offensively in the second half of football games, yeah. I think that's the stage we're at right now. I think
nobody's coming to save us.
No one's coming to save us, man. You got to start scoring some freaking touchdowns, all right, on your own. No one's going to score them for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm a little bummed that we only do the Pettycast once a week. Maybe we should start to sprinkle it in a little bit more because sometimes we get gems on other days throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be construed as petty? This was Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. They're playing the Ravens this week. And Deontay Johnson is a Raven. He was a Steeler last year, the last few years. Kind of a problem child, which was why he became a Carolina Panther this offseason. Good player, not a great player, but a good player who was probably a little more trouble than he was worth for that Steelers locker room. He's a Raven now. He's played one game for the Ravens, kind of. He played just a few snaps, to which he immediately took to social media about as a Raven. Mike Tomlin was asked about going up against Deontay Johnson this weekend in the Ravens.
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
All true. All true.
It's all true. But nothing he said was untrue.
Right.
I read it. I read the quote, and I'm like, okay, I could see everything he's saying is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hear the tone of voice. And I think in listening to it,
yeah.
I think it was just the length with which he went on about
he
it.
It's he hit, you know, a couple extra punches.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He could have said, like, hey, he just got there and we, you know, we really haven't seen a lot of him. But he really, he tripled and quadrupled down on how little he saw
he
Deontay Johnson.
Highlighted and, his yeah. insignificance to
of
this
how,
team.
Yeah. It was the Don Draper gif of him saying, I don't think about you at all in the elevator.
That's
you know, I don't think about you at all.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was petty. Good job, Mike Tomlin. Good job.
That is good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. My wife wants a text. My wife wants to have a players-only meeting 3 times a week, and I'm probably in trouble. Yeah, how many times do you have to have the equivalent of a players-only meeting in your marriage?
I say you put a disco ball in your bedroom and say that this is a players-only meeting.
And, and everything.
Make it romantic, yeah.
There you go. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Up next, let's circle over to Alex Bregman. The odds are out on his landing spots. If he doesn't stay here, still a lot of experts think he's going to remain a Houston Astro, but if not, what would our emotions be if he landed at any of these 5 landing spots, the top 5 spots on the board for Alex Bregman? What would our gut reaction be to these if it happens in the coming weeks? That's next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy.
Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.